More compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, is live and Lansing with Michael Cohen and the Capital City Recap.
Good evening. It is Monday. I'm Michael Cohen, producer Mike Peterson, and this is 1320 WILS. Tonight, he may be banned from CNN, ABC, NBC, and CBS, and now even Berkeley, but David Horowitz will be here on 1320 WILS to talk about his new book, Big Agenda, and what he thinks President Trump has accomplished in his first 100 days. Also, the shower you take at home, have you noticed how weak it is? Do you remember how showers used to be powerful and strong? Well, tonight you'll hear from a man who says the shower heads and the regulations we face in our showers is just one example of overregulation here in America. But let's begin with healthcare. Tomorrow, State Senator Patrick Kolbeck is going to hold a town hall meeting on healthcare. He's one of Michigan's really top voices in bringing choice into healthcare to lower costs. He's now here with us on WILS. Senator Kolbeck, great to have you here.
Hey, great to be with you, Mike.
Yeah, and you got a master's in aerospace engineering, and I'm curious, how did you end up in the state senate after that?
That's a long story. A lot of prayer involved, I can guarantee that. But we were kind of in that mode where we could either yell at our TV and radio or go out and do something about it. So my wife and I went out and did something about it and ran for office.
Did you work in the field of aerospace?
Yes, actually, I was responsible for elements of the life support system on board the International Space Station, and I've also worked with the Department of Defense on some pretty advanced training simulation systems.
Well, did you have to take a pay cut then to get into the state legislature?
Yeah, but as soon as you start saying that, everybody starts saying that you're whining about your salary. I'm not in that mode. I'm just doing what I can to kind of make up for about 44 years where I wasn't paying attention to politics. I thought people were taking care of us, and I found out that wasn't the case. So we got to go out and kind of recalibrate government, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Did you take part in that March for Science this weekend? Or?
No.
Not interested.
As somebody who's very evident, very well-schooled on science, some of the stuff that they're claiming, they're afraid of real science.
Yeah, what did you think the point of that march was really all about, then?
I'm not going to give them credit for any points.
Okay. Hey, Patrick Kolbeck with a state senator here on WILS, and how did healthcare become such a focus of yours as a senator?
Well, my wife's a pediatrician, and on the road towards us getting more politically active, I was actually one of the crazy people that decided to actually read the whole Affordable Care Act. And when I got done reading it, I realized this had nothing to do with care. It had everything to do about control. And since then, it's been a passion of mine. And when you actually look at how important health care is to so many different aspects of government, I kind of call it government Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
Because it can be used to address things that you were talking about earlier, which is post-employment benefits, you know, health care and the liabilities for retirees. It addresses, our Medicaid budget, which is growing out of control at $18.6 billion. And it addresses economic development, because if we can find a way to lower the cost of health care on the order of 20 to 60% here in the state of Michigan, companies will flock to Michigan because we have a lower total cost of doing business.
So is there a primary way to do that then?
Yeah, and actually that's what we're going to talk about at this town hall tomorrow that you were referring to. It's out in Rose's Restaurant out in,
St. Clair Shores, right?
Yep, St. Clair Shores.
Yeah, we're on the east side of the state.
This is the eighth one that I've done.
Yeah. Now, yeah. Tell me this, though. You say there's a primary way to address the cost. What would that be, then?
All right, well, essentially the first thing you got to understand is I break down health care into two different categories. One is primary care, the other is catastrophic. So primary care is when you go to your family practice physician, your pediatrician. It's kind of for the nuts and bolts maintenance, if you will. And just like for a car, you know, you have auto insurance, and you don't use that auto insurance for oil changes, for example. Think of primary care as the oil changes for your body.
Okay.
On the catastrophic side of the fence, you've got the chronic illnesses and hospitalization. What we've done is 80% of the transactions are in the primary care space. If you optimize how that is delivered, you're going to end up lowering the cost and saving money on the very expensive side of the fence, which is the catastrophic care involving hospitalization and chronic illnesses.
Okay. So in your view, the primary care, the cheaper things, should that be just out of pocket generally?
Well, there's a couple different ways of approaching it. And There's a lot of different options on it, but all this stuff, ultimately, I'm a big believer in free market, so not necessarily driving everything from government assistance perspective. I want to make sure that people have these options. So you could pay out of pocket for this, but there are some employers that will actually offer it as potentially part of their benefit package as an employer. Let me put it this way. If I were right now, and this is what we're going to talk about at our town hall tomorrow night, and it's starting, doors open at 6 out at Rose's Restaurant, and this talk starts at 7. But if I were in without coverage right now, my wife and I would be going off and pursuing a direct primary care service package, mm-hmm. along with a healthcare ministry like Christian Medishare or Curo as our wraparound or catastrophic care.
Tell me this, Senator Colbeck, who is most to blame? Which industry, which group, most to blame for the high cost of healthcare in Michigan?
I'm going to start it with the government itself. And a lot of the regulations that we passed.
You're saying federal or state government?
Federal.
Okay.
Federal. And what we've done, what we've seen over the past few decades is that when you're looking at the overall cost of healthcare, has it been because of the cost that physicians are charging? No. When you look at their actual price model, and it's relatively flat over that time. Okay. But where the money is really come into gear, where the costs have really shifted in, is on the administration and on the overhead and on the bureaucracy.
So you're saying the hospitals, are they the ones that are overcharging?
Hospitals and insurance industry, but a lot of that, frankly, some of those costs and some of those restrictions are driven by regulation that's put forward by the government. So it starts with the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, called CMS, out in the federal government. Ultimately, back in the 60s, when we started going off and dictating standards of care to go off and try to, ostensibly, to try to control the escalating costs of Medicare and Medicaid, they just started throwing rule upon rule upon rule. And the next thing you know is right now we've got a coding system in some of our doctor's offices that have 83,000 separate codes that a doctor has to go off and specify to an insurance company or to a government agency in order to receive reimbursement for the procedure.
So are the insurance companies happy with it? I mean, do you think the insurance companies like the system as it stands right now?
I think they've learned to deal with it. I think ultimately if we get insurance companies acting more as risk management companies rather than health management companies, mm-hmm. which is what they used to be back in the 60s and 70s and before that, then I think we'd all be better off, because as soon as they try to start managing each and every one of our lives is when you need more. They need more and more information, which means more and more bureaucrats and more IT systems, and it's spiraling out of control.
Now, you said you read the Affordable Care Act. Did you read through the Republican health care plan, the one that failed to be up for a vote?
Yes, and I'm very thankful that that was only 132 pages long.
Uh-huh. Now, did you support that plan?
No, I did not. And
what was the problem with it?
There are some good aspects around the concept of capping Medicaid expansion or Medicaid costs on it. So the idea of block grants to the state is something that I'm very much in favor of. Really, a lot of the problems, like we were just saying, are dealing with the regulatory burden that's coming out of the federal government. If you cut those strings and allow states to innovate, like I'm proposing with plans that are based on direct primary care services, we can save the citizens of Michigan on the order of $3.7 billion a year on Medicaid alone while getting people who need Medicaid better coverage.
Right, but Democrats say, bottom line, though, before the Affordable Care Act, we had tens of millions of uninsured Americans that now have insurance. What do you say to that point?
Well, they're ignoring all the people that were told that if you like your insurance, you can keep your insurance. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. And there are a lot of people that were displaced from that provision alone and that lie that was sold when Obamacare was pushed through the system.
Okay, but you're saying you were not happy with health care even before the Affordable Care Act then?
Absolutely not. Yeah, it was on a bad trend. It was on and a lot of it was due to government involvement. But Affordable Care Act, pardon the expression, just put that bad stuff on steroids. As a matter of fact, the only thing that's really good about the Affordable Care Act are the exemptions, and that's what we talk about at these health care town halls. Direct primary care is one of those exemptions. Self-funded insurance plans for employers is one of the exemptions, and these healthcare ministries that, like Christian Medishare or Curo, are some of those exemptions as well. Mm-hmm. Those work all the rest of the stuff that puts 159 new organizations between a doctor and a patient up in D.C., that doesn't work.
So how do you address, I mean, when you have so much money in the game, so many organizations making a fortune out of the system as it stands now, how do you break it down?
Well, you just got to go off and highlight the value proposition for taking a new approach to healthcare. And I, at these town halls, we talk about what kind of, how much you would pay for, like, take, for example, a type 2 diabetic. Under Obamacare, and you get the gold plan, which is like the gold-plated, right? So it's a really good plan. You're going to pay about $13,000 in principal and about $1,000 out of pocket to cover your annual costs if you're a type 2 diabetic. If you go down to a bronze plan, your premium drops down to about $6,000, but you're still going to pay $4,000 in out-of-pocket costs. So you've dropped it from $14,000 to $10,000. If I go all the way down and actually go to a direct primary care plus a Christian Medishare program, for example, that $14,000 bill goes down to $3,500 a year. And that is a huge saving. And all the discussion in D.C. right now is about shifting the cost. What we need to start talking about is how do we lower the cost while actually improving the quality of care.
State Senator Patrick Kobach, he's holding these town hall meetings across Michigan. Tomorrow he'll be at Rose's Family Dining in St. Clair Shores, is on the east side of the state. 6 p.m. is when things kick off there. Senator Kobach, great to have you on WILS. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for helping me get the word out. Much appreciated, Mike. Keep up the good work.
Thanks.